We're going to continue as we look at the attributes of God, God's character and God's qualities. And an attribute is that we've been brought up 2 weeks ago and started out. Last week we looked at the omniscience of God, that God is all-knowing. And again, if you maybe didn't get those notes, I think we might have two, maybe a couple left back there in the wall. You could grab one of those. But looking at the omniscience of God, His all-knowing, and I'm so thankful that He does. And we're going to look tonight at the omnipotence. This is one of my favorites to study, that we have an all-powerful God. There is none beside Him. There is none even close to Him in any realm, the spiritual, the physical, any of it. He is God and God alone. Thank God for that. Isaiah chapter 40, if you have it there, or might be on the screen here. These are familiar verses that we've read before, but very interesting to look at. Isaiah 40, verse 28. And notice what he says here. He says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He hath given power to the faint, to them that have no mighty increase of strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Wonderful verses. We use that often as we look at this, and sometimes people will put that kind of a quote or a poster up on the wall. But we really see the author there, Isaiah, is speaking primarily under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, listen, kind of a rhetorical thing. Have you not heard? You not know? He says, you do know this. You do know that God is all-powerful. He doesn't faint. He doesn't get weak. Do you have Ephesians chapter 3 possibly there? You want to jump over there if you do. Ephesians 3, oh yes, thank you. Notice what he says, now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above. And I like how he writes that. Not just exceeding and not just abundant, but exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. Amen. Now again, he's emphasizing that to the church. The church ought to know that we have an all-powerful God. Okay, now in our notes, notice we're going to look at this, what really our second attribute that we've been studying, and it's God has absolute and all power. Okay, He can bring to pass everything which He wills. God's power admits of no bounds or limitations. Now, just a reminder, it admits of none of that. You read the Bible, after you get past the cover page that says Holy Bible, King James Version, then you turn it over, and what's the next thing? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. Well, okay. First thing you hit, His omnipotence, His power. Now notice, as we said last week, Genesis 18:14, the Lord says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything past Him? Is it too high for Him? Is it over His head or past? No, nothing at all. In the book, I mentioned this, and I finally found this book. I've been looking for it in my office for a couple of weeks. I finally found it. The author is A.W. Tozer, and I mentioned him last week. He wrote this little book called The Knowledge of the Holy. Great book to study if you're looking at trying to understand more about who God is. Little thin book, and you can borrow it if you'd like to borrow it. You can find it on Amazon really cheap, I think $5 or something. But The Knowledge of the Holy, phenomenal study on the attributes of God. He also wrote a two-volume set on the title, The Attributes of God. Really, really interesting and very detailed. Anyways, I say that because I took several quotes from the book here. Notice what he says, though. God is power. Since God is also infinite, whatever He has must be without limit. Therefore, God has limitless power, since God is self-existent. He is the source of all the power there is. Humankind, the entire universe itself, is dependent upon the power of God. In our society, many revere the laws of nature. What we see in nature is simply the paths God's power and wisdom take through the creation. Properly, these are phenomena, not laws, but we call them laws by analogy with the arbitrary laws of society. Science observes how the power of God operates, discovers as regular pattern somewhere, and fixes it as a law. The uniformity of God's activities in His creation enables the scientist to predict the course of natural phenomena. The trustworthiness of God's behavior in His world is the foundation of all scientific truth. Upon it, the scientist rests his faith, and from there he goes on to achieve great and useful things in such fields as those of navigation, chemistry, agriculture, and the medical arts. Pretty interesting to look at it. But the regular patterns, notice that, The trustworthiness of God's behavior. He's consistent, is what he's saying. But power rests with him. Okay, we'll get back to this in a minute. So we saw this a little bit last time as a brief overview. But one, we see his power in the creation. Again, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created heaven and the earth. He created all things. Oh, thank you. Notice Psalm 8, verse 3. He says, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, here's the question. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Really, not only that you know us, but you visit us. Now, this is written in the Old Testament. These individuals knew, and the psalmist knew, in particular David, but he knew the coming Messiah. He knew of Jesus. He knew of all of that. What are we that you would even visit us, that you would even condescend, if you want to use the word, down to us? Now, some of these, I just use this as an example of the sun as we studied it, but our sun is 93 million miles from the earth. Our sun is a million times larger than the earth. There's a star called Antares. It's 67 million times larger than our sun. And then they recently discovered another star that they estimate to be about 100 million times larger than that star. So, you know, you ever looked at the images of the Hubble telescope online? It's pretty fascinating. But the scientists that do that, I don't know what you call them, but they actually are in control of that, say we haven't even touched the tip of how vast our universe is. I mean, we're looking millions and millions of miles away, and you can't even, they say, even understand how vast it is. Now, just talking again about the omnipotent power of our Creator, we read Colossians 1, verse 15. He's speaking of the Lord Jesus, says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Well, that's good. I'm glad you told us who he was, but what does he do? Notice, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in the earth or in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Okay. So you think he's kind of important? Yeah, absolutely. Okay, number two, this is seen in the dealings with man. Daniel 4:35. I like this. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? What's he saying? No one can say, hey, what are you doing? None of your business. I'll do whatever I want to do, right? What do you do? How come you did it that way? Well, now thinking about that, he goes on in James 4:13. James puts it really bluntly. He says, go to now ye that say today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city, continue there a year, buy, sell, get gain. We're going to go into town and we'll stay there for about 12 months and we're going to buy, sell, get gain. We're going to tell you, well, hang on, what's he continue with? Whereas ye know not what will be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And always preface everything with the will of God. Lord, bless our trip, if it's your will. Lord, bless me today. Guide us today. Lord, we want to do your will. Okay, so just hastening through this here. Number three, we've seen it in the dealings with Satan, our adversary. Satan has no power over God's children, except God permits him to have. Now, remember this. Anything that comes into your life, either God ordains it or permits it. Now, that's hard to understand. He ordained it. He ordered it. I'm going to put that in Tim's life. Or he permits it, allows it, through maybe a temptation or through, again, through our adversary may want to try me or tempt me at something. So we understand it. Now, this fact is clearly established in the case of Job. And then finally, we understand Satan will be cast into the lake of fire. And so understanding that. Now, like all his attributes, God's omnipotence is coextensive with his being. There is no area of the universe where he is not exerting his power. From the blade of grass to the stars of the sky, everything and everyone is dependent upon is an immeasurable power for its existence. Now we'll explore some of this. Turn the page over onto the back. And again, just I'll briefly run through this quote here. Another quote from the book that I mentioned of the knowledge of the holy. But in the time of his vision, John the Revelator, you remember John was on the Isle of Patmos and he was given the great revelation from Jesus himself. Notice he heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, as the voice of a mighty thunderings sounding throughout the universe, and what the voice proclaimed was the sovereignty and omnipotence of God. For it says in Revelation 19, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Now, have you ever been or stood by a giant waterfall? You ever been by something, the rage of that? I mean, it's deafening. It's so powerful. And that's just a microcosm. I mean, not even a fraction of the power of God. And that's what he's saying. He heard that type of thunder. In fact, when Paul was on the road to Damascus, those that were with him heard this thunder, the clap or claps of the thunder. Even dogs, horses, and animals know what to do when the thunder hits. They go cower under, you know, high. Not humans. We're too stupid. We don't get it, do we? That's the power of Almighty God. And we see it. Now, again, continuing, he says that sovereignty and omnipotence must go together. One cannot exist without the other. To reign, God must have power. And to reign sovereignly, he must have all power. We must understand that. And that is what omnipotent means, having all power. The word derives from the Latin and is identical in meaning with the more familiar almighty, which we have from the Anglo-Saxon. This latter word occurs 56 times in our English Bible, is never used of anyone but God. He alone is almighty. God possesses what no creature can, an incomprehensible plenitude of power, a potency that is absolute. This we know by divine revelation, but once known, it is recognized as being in full accord with reason. Grant that God is infinite and self-existent, and we at once, that he must be all-powerful as well, and reason kneels to worship before the divine omnipotence. He says also in Psalm 62:11, power belongeth unto God. There's that word. Paul the Apostle declares that nature itself gives evidence to the eternal power of the Godhead. We know that in Romans 1:20. For this knowledge, we reason to the omnipotence of God this way. God is power, since God is also infinite. Whatever he has must be without limit. Therefore, God has limitless power. He is omnipotent. We see further that God is self-existent. Creator is a source of all the power there is. And since a source must be at least equal to anything that emanates from it, God is of necessity equal to all the power there is. This is to say, again, he's an omnipotent. Okay, a lot of information, but you understand what he's saying. He has to be all-powerful. Again, he can't coexist with somebody else. And we know that. If he did, he would not be God. We could not call him the Almighty. Again, the verses I put here again, but we already read them. I have Isaiah 40 and Ephesians 3. So again, what is the objective of studying God's omnipotence? Well, three things primarily is to show the extent of God's power, the extent of it. Maybe when you think of the power today, the greatest, most powerful thing you may think of is maybe nuclear energy or some kind of something like that. We have some of our enemies today in the Middle East are giving and being supplied stuff to create stuff like that. We won't go into all that, but that's the power, some of that power that can be very devastating to a society, to a country. Two, to commend worship of the one who controls all events at all times. If he's in control and has all power and has the ability to stop your heart tonight while you're sleeping, don't you think you should worship that? The fear brings worship, and it's not a cowering, oh God, it's this, I want to worship you. Because you realize who God is. If he can stop your heart, if he can stop your life, but he doesn't, and he loves you and he shows you that every day, right? That kind of thing. You want to worship him and serve him. And I'm so thankful that all of you do show that. Thirdly, to instill humility by considering our frailty in light of God's limitless power. Oh, how frail we are, right? It's like the little boy walked out one day to the ant pile and he stirred up the little hole there, and they all came out furious, those little red ants, man. And they got an army together and tried to fight against that little boy, and that little boy took some gasoline and poured it down, and he lit that whole thing on fire. Or you stuck one of the little bottle rockets in the, and you light it and see, explode, right? You'd laugh at that, but that's a good kind of understanding of where we're at, right? And I laugh at these people that say, oh, Satan is so powerful. We worship Satan. You're on the wrong side. You're on the losing side. If you knew you were going to lose the game, you would bet on the other team. I mean, right? You know that. Okay. Another individual, Augustine of Hippo, again, not a person we would necessarily agree with or identify with. He wrote this many, many centuries ago. But I found it important. He says, but however strong may be the purposes either of angels or men, whether of good or bad, whether these purposes fall in line with the will of God or run counter to it, the will of the omnipotent is never defeated. It never has been and it never will be. So we can do very little. God can do whatever he wills. We, beyond very narrow limits, must use means to accomplish our ends. With God, means are unnecessary. He wills and it is done. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He by a volition created the heavens and the earth. At the volition of Christ, the wind ceased and there was great calm. By the way, when he, in the movies, they depict this scene when they're on the boat, they go wake Jesus up. You remember the story? And they say, Lord, do you not care that we're going to perish? We're going to die? Now, these were fishermen. They've been in storms all their lives. So this must have been a big mama, big storm, right? A big one. Okay, they go, oh, we're going to die. This is a bad one. And he comes up out of the bottom, kind of, if you will, of the boat. And he kind of looks around and he says, peace be still. You know, a lot louder than that. It didn't take the waves a while to go, slowly. It was immediate. The winds immediately stopped. The rain immediately. And what did they say? Whoa. What manner of man is this that the weather obeys him? And you think about, this is what he said, by his volition. He just spoke it and it happened. Okay, let's continue. By the act of the will, he healed the sick. He opened the eyes of the blind. He raised the dead. This simple idea of the omnipotence of God, that he can do without effort and by a volition whatever he wills, is the highest conceivable idea of power and is that which is clearly presented in scriptures. You cannot get, as I said at the beginning, past the first line of the Bible without seeing his omnipotent power, his reign, his authority. And so throughout human history, many have sought for this type of complete power and total domination over humanity. Now, this has led to wars and in many cases, complete genocide of entire societies. Man's unwillingness to humble himself under the mighty hand of God has caused much destruction and will ultimately usher in the one world order under the Antichrist. Because the Antichrist comes and the beast, and what do? They shake their fist at God. Say, God told you to do this, but we're going to tell you what to. We're empowered by something else. And many people are going to follow the Antichrist. Why? Because of that power, the dominion. Many people have tried to do that. You had a guy years ago called Pol Pot over there in Africa. You remember that guy? It said he estimated murdered, I think it was 2 million people or something like that. It was just sick of his own people. He starved them out. And he didn't go out and just kill them all with a machine gun. He just starved them all out. He stopped all the trucks from coming in, all these babies, they all just died. Piles of bodies and other things, right? These are sick people. What was his ambition? And power, right? I want that power. I want to control people. I want those things. So we see it. If we will humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, oh, how he will lift us up. But it leads us right to the one world order. Okay, let's get to these points here and then we'll wrap it up. But the first point is that we see God's infinite power. Now, under this, God possesses all power. We already said that, but just to reiterate, all human power and ability ultimately belong to God. Even Satan's power is allotted to him by God. Moreover, when God is present in all places, he is present in the fullness of his being. Now, remember that. It's not that, okay, well, over in this little town called Edgewood in the backside of the mountain, I got to be there, but I also got to be at 56 million other churches too. I mean, okay, so I'm going to send just a little bit of my spirit over there. No. God has such power that we can claim or we can plead for, we can pray for all power of God to be here with us. Simultaneously, he's with every other church that's praying, I hope. It amazes me that he'll hear my prayers, right? Your prayers. Do you imagine how many prayers are being lifted up to him right now? I mean, you have to consider maybe billions of prayers, hopefully. And he listens to my prayers. He hears me. As an individual, he's concerned about me. Okay, so God's power, letter B under that, is without limits or bounds. Remember Genesis 18:14. Is anything too hard for God? He has the means to carry out his every desire. Nothing is too difficult for God to accomplish. Go to Jeremiah 32:27, because I want you to see this. Jeremiah 32:27. This is another kind of a reiteration of what was said there in Genesis. Oh, yes. Behold, I'm the Lord, the Son of all, or the God of all flesh, excuse me. Is there anything too hard for me? It's just a basic question. Is there anything too hard? He already asked that earlier, remember? Is there anything too overwhelming, too difficult? No, God can do what humans cannot, including the act of saving sinners. We can merely reform man, but it takes God to transform him. And our prison systems are full today of us trying to reform them. And by the way, many of these men would have never gotten saved if they would have never gotten arrested. And until they got arrested, put in prison, And the prison system, we call it the penal system, tries their best to reform these guys. But I'm so thankful we got ministries that go in there and hand them a Bible and preach to them. And they got away from their drugs, alcohol, their sick living, their nasty addictions. And now all they have is they sit in a cell block 24 hours a day and they have the Bible and that's it. That's all they're given. And boy, I'll tell you right now, the Bible will transform your life. If that's all you got, it'll change them. So thinking about it, that man can merely reform, but God transforms, right? We can clean people up. We can give them a new suit and we can part their hair just right. And we can, you know, try to help them get away from the drugs. But that's all we can do. The internal change has to start with the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul says in Romans 12, be not conformed to the world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay. On the last page there, notice the knowledge that God can overcome all obstacles should encourage us to pray to Him boldly and persistently. Go to Hebrews 4, and we'll look at this here. Hebrews 4, because he talks about this. We should come to Him because of this omnipotent power. Again, I think many of you know where I'm going to go with this. Hebrews 4, notice verse 12. Let's pick up there, verse 12. A good reminder that the Word of God is quick. That means living. It's powerful. There's our word. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder soul and spirit of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let's keep going. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. All things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. We looked at that last time. The omniscience of God, He knows everything. You can't hide from God. Notice, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, now clarify, yet without sin. Some versions leave that part out. And if you leave yet without sin, you have a sinning Savior. Therefore, He could not be our Savior. If a guy gets up on the cross and dies, he didn't do nothing for me. But if the Son of God, who is perfect, blameless, no sin, He is the Savior. Okay, the next one then. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. We may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The only way to approach the throne of grace is through prayer. That's it. Right. Now, one day we're going to get to actually approach the throne of grace in heaven. And as we sang the song on Sunday, one of my favorites, crown Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon the throne. That's what we're going to do. He's going to hand us out the crowns, as we studied a few years ago, but there's five crowns you can win. And we're going to take those crowns. They'll be handed out to us. Okay, let's see. Tim, Edgewood, heavenly number, five, whatever it is. Step forward. Here's your crowns you receive, or lack thereof. And then we take those and we go cast them at His feet in a form of worship, right? And we do that. And that's where we're going to approach the throne of grace. Now, here on earth, you know this, the only way to do that is through prayer. And He says, let us boldly come unto the throne of grace, not timidly or weak. He knows our sin. If you have sin in your life, you confess the sin. Lord, 1 John 1:9. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you say, Lord, please help me. I confess that. I acknowledge it. I agree with You about that sin. But Lord, You know what I'm going through. Now He does. For people to shy away from prayer, God is displeased with that. Okay, now, anyways, we've covered that. Number two, God's irresistible power. Not only His infinite power, He has irresistible power. No one can thwart, resist, or undermine God's purposes. Okay, let's jump to Isaiah 14:27 here real quick. We'll just get through these real quick here. But Isaiah 14:27, let's see, did you get it? Oh, thank you. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed. And who shall disannul it? Okay, that means erase it. You ever had a document disannulled? No good. And His hand is stretched out, who shall turn it back? Who's going to turn it back? Who's going to say, well, God, You messed up there. Better redo that one. No. So no one can thwart His plans. Okay. Letter B, God does not have to struggle to bring about His will. Letter C, God does not depend upon human action to achieve His goals. God will do it. By the way, you know, I've said it before. That's really convicted me. If I don't want to do this, get out of the way. God's got other people that'll do it, right? If you don't want to do your part and be where you're supposed to be a faithful mom and a dad, or grandfather, or pastor, or minister, or teach your Sunday school class, or be fit. Get out of the way. God's got people in line to take your place. Not to be harsh in that. That's how He speaks in the Word. To tell us that, listen, I don't need your help. I'm allowing you, right, to join me. in this endeavor. I'm allowing you to be, oh, we got church again, and oh, good night, I'm so tired. Oh, man, I can't, I don't know. We got to reverse that. Hey, God's allowing us, easy to say, hard to do. Letter D, the battle between God and Satan is not a stalemate or a tug of war. God effortlessly prevails over human rebellion and satanic resistance, right? He's not up there in tug of war. Oh, Satan's getting a hold on me today. Boy, he's strong. Again, like I said, the little boy with the ant pile, okay? That's how it is. So don't worry about that. Number three, God not only irresistible and infinite power, but God's inexhaustible power. God's power does not diminish over time. As we studied the second law of thermodynamics is what? There's a law called entropy, which means everything winding down. Everything gets moldy. Everything gets dusty. Everything breaks down. And you think about it, if you can find you a good old classic car or truck in the graveyard with no rust and no damage, you'd be doing well. But you can't find them, can you? Unless you go to see those barn finds. Have you seen those? Those aren't even real. Some guy's walking through, finds a $80,000 car, perfect condition, and, you know, come on now. But if you can find, why? Because everything rots. Everything falls apart. God's power does not diminish over time. Praise God. He never grows weary or tired, as we read in Isaiah 40. Through his inexhaustible energy, he gives strength to his people. Scripture assures believers that they can do all things through the strengthening power of Jesus Christ. Notice Philippians 4:13. In fact, you may not even need to look because you know it, I'm sure. But what? I can do all things through Christ, yes, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things. Now, I want to clarify. Newer versions change the word which to who. Now, think about it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, it's a little hard to understand, but if you change that to who, Christ is the one strengthening me, right? So if I fail, who do I blame? Well, God. He was supposed to strengthen me. He didn't strengthen me. Oh, well, oh, well. But if you keep it which, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. What strengthens me? The fact that I can do all things through Christ. Does that make sense? The fact. So if I fail, whose fault is it? It's my fault. Why? Because the fact that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Anyways, I read that the other day and it bothered me, so I studied that, okay? So he says that. Now again, clarification again. I can do all things through Christ that I'm supposed to do, not that I want to do. Well, I sure would, Lord. I've heard these bozos on TV maybe, Lord, you gave me that $13 million private jet. You wanted me to have it. And you said, no, not what you want. It's what you're supposed to do. I can find the strength through him to be at church. I can find the strength to read my Bible. I can find the strength to keep going. I can find the strength to stay married. I can find the strength to raise children for God. Right? That's what he's saying. Okay, this is what he's saying. It doesn't ever weary nor tire. And as we trust in Christ, he exchanges our weakness for his strength. God's inexhaustible strength empowers us to carry out what he calls us to do. Again, as it was said in the book of Acts, how could a bunch of ragtag losers, I don't mean that in a mean way, but literally these men, they were uneducated, remember? Because the people said, how can these uneducated men proclaim and reach all these people? They've turned, remember the phrase, the world upside down. These guys that had nothing going for them, they were broke, they were poor, and they did that. Why? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, through God. Okay, fourthly, God's incomprehensible power. God's power is so far beyond human capabilities. We simply cannot understand it. Psalm 8, if you will. Psalm 8, we'll jump here and then we'll wrap it up. This is a verse we read a little bit, but Psalm 8. Yes, I can do, oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies. Thou hast mightest, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him? So we understand. What's the last one? Little crown of glory. Oh, no. Okay, he continues to talk about the coming Messiah, really, and what he says there. Okay, so anyways, thinking about what is man? When I think about all that you do, Lord, he is able to do far above what we ask or think. And God's works, he works in human hearts in unseen and mysterious ways. We'll get to that a little bit later as we study his eternality and his immutability, that he changes not. So by way of conclusion here, God's power works in perfect conformity with all his other attributes. We've seen that. But every attribute he has, none of them contradict each other. They're all cohesive. They all work with each other. Now, us and our personalities, if you have a split personality like me, you have three or four different, I just don't know where to go. But in our own, we even contradict ourselves, don't we? I mean, you ever do something really dumb and you go, what in the world did I do that for? I can't believe I did that. You should try standing up here and preaching and teaching, okay? You go, good, why did I say that? Why did I do that? None of them contradict each other. I like that. Due to God's nature, there are certain things that he cannot do. Uh-oh, what's that? Well, God cannot act inconsistently with his holiness, love, immutability, or other qualities. This is not an ontological limitation of God's power. Rather, it demonstrates the boundless nature of each of his attributes. And as you study your Bible, you study that, you follow that. People say, oh, here's a contradiction here. Here's it. No. If you understand that he will not violate one attribute over the other, they won't contradict. You understand who he is. It will greatly help you, okay? So then the omnipotence of God is clearly seen throughout the pages of Scripture. As we said, this knowledge ought to bring several things to light for all of us, for mankind. One, he is the final authority. Two, he will fulfill his promises. And thirdly, he will complete the story. Amen? And so again, he's the final authority. You don't have to worry, well, God told me to do this, but I didn't realize I had to go to this judge. I didn't know I had to follow that. No, he's the final authority. What is so simplified for me, and I'm so grateful for that, we have this book, and if you stick with this book and follow this book and obey, you'll be just fine. You'll be just fine. You will have issues. You will sin. We'll have hiccups and hang-ups, and we'll stutter and stammer through life. We know that. But if you stick with this book, you'll be just fine. And you'll please the judge. You'll please the authority, who, by the way, is not a God, as we saw in our Bible Institute. Not a God. He is the God. And he's the one. Not only is he all-powerful, but he is all-loving. We'll get to that later. His loving kindness extends. His mercy extends to us. Doesn't it? Every single day we mess up, we do something really, really royally blow it. And God's still there. He loves us. He cares for us. And he's all-powerful. We're not on the losing side of it. We're not. We're on the winning side. And you can trust him, and you can go forward in the power of his might. Okay? Thank you for listening. Again, take that home, study it. I'd encourage you to dive a little bit deeper into some of these topics on your own time, and you'll find it to be very, very beneficial. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this evening and for allowing us to study your word. Once again, another amazing attribute to look at. God, we don't serve some God far off that's not able to hear us, or a God that's dwindling in age, and a God that is just losing his strength day by day. Lord, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we are on the winning side. We're a part of a family that's led by our Father, the God of all things, the Almighty God. Help us to go forward in that power, with that knowledge, that fact, Lord, we know. We love you and we thank you, Lord. Guide us, bring us back, if you will, on Sunday. Watch over us now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.